You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning.
We are here usually every fourth Wednesday of the month. This month, a little different, right? Because of the number of Wednesdays in the month. But usually the fourth Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10. And we spend our hour every month looking at the liturgical life of the church, looking at the rites and the celebrations, the seasons, the liturgical calendar, anything that has to do with our corporate, public, communal liturgical life.
And for our regular listeners, as you know, for the last several months, we have been breaking open the new text of the Roman Missal, which is set to be implemented on the first Sunday of Advent this coming year. We're getting very, very close, just about 12 weeks, I guess. We're winding down the season of ordinary time, and that change will take effect with the beginning of the new liturgical year with the Saturday Mass of Anticipation, which is actually November 26th. So we have been looking at the background of the translation. We have looked at the texts themselves and explored the four parts of the Mass, going from the introductory rites to the Liturgy of the Word to the Liturgy of the Eucharist and the concluding rites. And we're going to take a little break on the Missal for today. We may talk about it every now and then.
We'll probably get something in on it. How can you not? It's so close. But, you know, even for the listeners, anyone who's listening who might have missed those shows, they are podcast. Mm-hmm. For this whole year, since January of this year, our monthly show, we have spent a lot of time on the Roman Missal. So you can go back and look at any of those. You can get them on the website of the Office for Divine Worship. There's a link, that's odw.org, and you can also get them at LTP's website.
Yeah, LTP has a website devoted to the Roman Missal, the new Roman Missal. It's www.revisedromanmissal.org. And if you click on resources and then click on media, you can get the archives of all of the podcasts there as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you've missed those, make sure to take a look at those, because as we are winding down, like even though in our preparation for today, we're not focusing on the Missal as we have in the past necessarily, but it's going to come up because we're, as we say, you know, we're just two and a half months away. 3 months out?
Yeah, just about 3 months.
So it's in the air. Mm-hmm. It's there. But as you said, maybe not as focused in this show, because we want to spend today looking at the season of ordinary time.
Mm-hmm. That's where we are right now. We're in the 22nd week of ordinary time. We just had the 22nd Sunday this past weekend, and we're going to break open that season. What is it about? What do the readings say? What do the prayer texts say that shed light on this particular season of the year?
You know, I just started a class for the Loyola last night, sacraments class that I teach in the IPS, the Institute for Pastoral Studies, and last night we're just, you know, it's setting the stage. It's giving some groundwork upon which to build in talking about sacraments for this course, and spent a lot of time talking about the formative power of the texts of the liturgy. Mm-hmm. You know, so that that's one of the things that we've talked a lot about here, that the liturgy shapes us, it forms us. You know, if you through the text, through the readings, through the rituals, through the gestures, it over time it's like water acting on a rock bed. It shapes and and molds and forms us.
And it's always rooted in the Paschal mystery. Now, the liturgical seasons shed some light or some aspect on the on the Paschal mystery. And, of course, we have the high seasons of Advent and Christmas. We're looking towards the second coming, which naturally segues back into looking towards the birth of Christ. And then the other three high seasons of Lent, Triduum, and Easter, all
and
about
those,
death and resurrection.
In those seasons, it's easy, mm-hmm. you know, to see that how the text might tell us what we believe and how the text
right.
might shape us. And there's, you know, they're so powerful in the high seasons that they, you know, there's usually always something that can just sit with
it's
you
obvious.
For the whole week,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But during other parts of the year, during ordinary time, you know, boring time. That's what we used to call it in studies.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
It's the 22nd Sunday in boring time. Well, you know, where it might not be so obvious, but to look at the text, to look at the prayers, to look at the readings, there is a focus mm-hmm. that we're going to touch into today. That whole idea of ordinary time, I mean, you know, as we're beginning this, I'm just thinking, Danielle, it's been a long time since we've done a show on one of the seasons.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of nice to get into back to the liturgical calendar. Ordinary time, it's, you know, as such, it's the longest season we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's half the year.
It is half the year.
It's half the calendar year.
33 to 34 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Begins in for us here in the northern hemisphere. It begins in winter.
The Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is the end of the Christmas season, and which could fall on a Sunday or a Monday. So the day following that feast day begins ordinary time. So there really is no first Sunday of ordinary time, if you will, because it starts either on a Monday or a Tuesday,
right,
depending
right.
how baptism falls. So that first Sunday is actually the second Sunday of ordinary time, so that starts mid-January, can go up through February or March, depending on when Lent falls, which
right.
of course is calculated by the date of Easter.
Which is calculated by the lunar schedule.
Exactly. So then we go through the whole season of Lent, Triduum, and Easter, and ordinary time picks up again after Pentecost.
So it's really not two seasons of ordinary time. It really isn't.
It's one season. We often colloquially refer to it as winter ordinary time or ordinary time during the summer and fall, but technically it's just one season of ordinary time
that gets interrupted.
And then that, of course, that begins after Pentecost again and then continues until the Saturday right before Advent would be celebrated.
But even that whole concept of you even look at the title of the season, that tells us something about the whole liturgical
mm-hmm.
year. Really, it does,
mm-hmm.
because it talks about, you know, we say ordinary time. And you start to break that open,
right.
and you really get at the heart of
what it's about.
Yeah, of what a liturgical year and its seasons is all about.
And Todd, you were joking, calling it boring time, but, you know, really the meaning of that term ordinary comes from the Latin ordinal, which means counted time.
It doesn't mean
has nothing
ordinary.
To do with ordinary or boring as we would
common.
Normally think about it. And because the text of the Mass and the text of the lectionary, you know, call us to discipleship, it really shows us how life becomes extraordinary through Christ. So really, it's extraordinary time.
There's there is the saying or the adage or the understanding that once God broke into his own creation, nothing is ordinary after that.
No,
it
and,
can't be.
You know, I always go back, when I'm explaining ordinary time, I always go back to the blessing of the Paschal candle from the Easter Vigil, which I think is a beautiful text, which really sheds light on the meaning of the liturgical year, and that's all times and all seasons belong to Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and through Christ, everything becomes sacramental and extraordinary, and our eyes are open to the glory of God.
Noticed you got the Paschal candle in
I
again.
Did. I always have to do that.
There you go, Kevin. That's for you. another way of looking at it is ordinary as in ordered.
Right. Exactly.
Which really does get at the heart for us Catholics. That time is, for us, time is ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And it always begs a question that you know, people have heard me ask before. They've heard me talk about it before. It raises the question or begs the question, okay, well, if time is ordered, you know, what is it around which your time is ordered? I mean, I think that's a question that each of us have to ask ourselves at some point.
Right.
You know, what is it around which I order my life?
Right.
Let's pick it up there when we come back. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are talking about ordinary time, looking to get more focused in the, later in the show on summer, what we call summer ordinary time, but in reality, that's just designate where we are in this longest season of our liturgical year. And right before that break, Danielle, we were talking about that idea of ordered time, ordinary time. Ordered time is what it really means, and I raised that question that I know you and I have talked about, I've written about, we've talked about. You know, the question of what is it around which I order my time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all could come up with numerous examples of really, it's asking, you know, what's at the center of your life?
Right.
What is it that what is it that occupies your time?
Mm-hmm.
And by the liturgical calendar, what we're saying is we order our time around Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's what we do as Catholics.
You know, there's an interesting thought that comes to my mind as you're talking about what is it that we center our lives around. A professor of mine used to say, frequently trying to emphasize how we're Trinitarian people, and he would say, "Are we Christocentric or are we Trinitarian?" Which always I thought was a very profound statement, because yes, we're Christocentric. I mean, that's obvious. Our life orders around Christ. It's Christ that transforms us. But unpacking that, is Christ a second person of the Trinity, and this whole call into relationship, and how, you know, we're baptized into that relationship in Christ, and, you know, we've talked about that divine dance of the Trinity and so forth, and that the Trinity really, the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really models for us what we are assumed into through our baptism. So when he used to ask us that question, you know, it would always make us step back and think of what that really is about. And, you know, looking at the text of the Mass and the whole structure of the Mass, it's really, it's the whole thing is Trinitarian.
It is the prayer of Christ to the Father in the Holy Spirit.
And thinking of ordinary time, of this, you know, focus on discipleship, which is the text of the Mass, that's where we are right now. Breaking that open really calls us into relationship as Christian disciples.
Into the life of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The structure of ordinary time is again, I mean, I think it's easy to see with the high seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Advent and Christmas, with the Lent, Triduum, Easter cycle. It's easy to see the themes there. Right? Every Advent, no matter what cycle we're in or what year we're in the 3-year cycle, for Advent, it follows the same. There's the prophecies, we begin Advent looking at the end times, the second coming, and then it goes into the prophecies of the first coming of the Messiah, and then as we get closer later into Advent, the focus on Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Lent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the stories of the salvation history. Mm-hmm. There's the stories of the Exodus. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, this call to return, to repentance. It's there every year.
Right.
I don't know if most Catholics realize that they're similarly throughout the weeks of ordinary time, the 34 weeks, there's
the
a theme
same thing.
Every
mm-hmm.
year.
Exactly.
It follows the same pattern.
When we pick up in winter,
we begin,
with the life of Jesus and his
baptism,
public ministry.
Right.
So
it all flows out of the baptism
that
we celebrate, the baptism of Christ.
Which is such I love the liturgical year in terms of segues and natural transitions. And, you know, we've just celebrated the birth of Christ, and that goes up through the Epiphany and ends with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which naturally segues into ordinary time and the text about his public ministry.
In those first weeks after the end of the Christmas season, they're all, in all 3 years of the cycle, they're about Christ, about Jesus calling his first disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of his public ministry.
Mm-hmm.
One way to kind of look at it, I think, from a professor of mine, was you look at the high seasons, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Triduum, Easter, the heart of the high seasons are the mysteries of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of ordinary time is the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only one way you might look at it, because ordinary time, as you said, beginning right at its start, right after Christmas each year, it follows that same pattern. It's the early ministry of Christ, calling of the disciples, his first teachings, his first miracles.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting designation, because we often talk about, you know, even just trying to explain Eucharistic presence and Christ's presence, of those distinctions between the historical Jesus of Nazareth and then the risen Christ. So that's a really interesting way to describe the liturgical
year. I think it's one perspective,
because I like that.
By the time we get to Lent and ordinary time is interrupted, by that time, you know, Jesus as this great prophet with his teachings and the gradual revelation of him as the Son of God.
Right.
That's already begun.
Right.
Every year, no matter what cycle we're in, it's interrupted by Lent, and then after Easter, it picks up again.
Mm-hmm.
So every year in the second half of ordinary time, the season we're in right now, it picks back up with the main teachings of Christ, of Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the readings and the texts of Turn the Other Cheek.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a follower of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we get in the liturgical season, the second half of ordinary time, where we are now.
And this past Sunday, we heard the reading about denying oneself and
picking
up your
cross. All of it's geared. If you look after Easter, what did you say were the 11th Sunday after Pentecost?
Yeah, I was talking to Todd about, but on the break, I had never been to the extraordinary form of the Latin Mass before, and I went this past Sunday, and they, you know, it was the announcement we're the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, which reminded me that prior to Vatican II, that was the numbering system.
That was the designation.
Was after Pentecost.
There was no ordinary
mm-hmm,
time.
Exactly.
Let's pick it up there when we come back, Danielle. So we'll be back after these messages. Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy, here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are talking about the season of Ordinary Time, looking at this part of our liturgical calendar, the seasonal calendar. And Danielle, right before that break, we were looking at where we are now, in the season. We had said we're 11 weeks since the end of the Easter season, mm-hmm. and in the past 11 weeks. Again, this is the structure of this of Ordinary Time every year.
Right.
After Easter, we start hearing about really the teachings of Christianity.
Right.
What does it mean to follow this Christ?
Right.
What does it mean to be a member of His body?
Right.
What does it mean to be baptized into His right. death and resurrection?
Right.
And which is actually you were talking about segues. I mean, we end the Easter season, the season that celebrates and focuses on our baptism, mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. received this last Easter or received as an infant. In either case, Easter always calls us to look recalls our baptism.
And how that baptism affected the lives of the first Christian disciples.
Right.
So how did they live that call post-baptism,
which leads right into that part of Ordinary Time.
Exactly.
This is what it means to be baptized into the death
exactly.
and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It means, as we heard last Sunday, denying yourself and picking up your cross.
Right.
And those are challenging words.
Exactly. And like a few weeks later, and I can't remember what Sunday it is, you're going to hear the greatest commandment about loving your enemy as yourself. And, you know, all of those really challenging instructions on what it means to be a Christian. It's not an easy life.
No, it isn't. And the liturgy, what I love so much is the liturgy is what reminds us
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in tune with it, if
exactly.
we listen, if we have this understanding of it and this awareness of it going in, mm-hmm. into the liturgy. It's not, it's not your week.
The Mass, what the Church teaches, and this is from the general instruction of the Roman Missal, and what I'm quoting is from the New Translation, which is this document that basically gives instructions for how to celebrate Mass, but it has these wonderful theological teachings about what the meaning of the Mass is, and it says that the Mass is the center and the high point of our lives.
Yeah.
All things are rooted from the Mass. Our life flows from it and flows back into it. It's a circle.
It's continually feeding in mm-hmm. one week into the other.
Mm-hmm.
Every day since Monday, the day before yesterday, should be leading us to this coming Sunday.
Exactly.
Every day after that should flow out of that Sunday.
You know, the Mass
Dies Domini.
Exactly.
One of my favorite documents. You can Google it. You can find it.
He loves it.
John Paul II, his reflection on the importance of Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, he talks about how the Eucharist is the heart of Sunday mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how Sunday is the heart of time, mm-hmm. really, for us.
It's the Lord's Day. It's the day of resurrection.
It's the day of the
eighth
church.
Day. It's the perfect day.
Day of Christ.
You know, and think I talk about this a lot, too, because I think these simple statements are so profound, but go, the Mass has ended, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. These statements, it's not just saying the Mass is over.
Yeah, you know, you're dismissed. The Mass is done. You can go now. That's not what it
is. It's the very beginning.
That's why, see, we couldn't go too long without
talking about the Roman Missal.
That's right, the third edition. That's why the dismissals that we've talked about on the show, but the dismissals that are part of the coming English translation of the third edition, I think are so powerful.
They are. It's very interesting with this translation. The Latin is "Ite missae est," go, you are sent. And in a recent document from Pope Benedict, I think it was Sacramentum Caritatis, he talks about the importance of the dismissal rites and that it's a call to discipleship. And that document is so beautiful because it really unpacks the liturgy and unpacks the meaning of the Eucharist. But he actually suggested that there be a little bit of a variation with these texts. So we now, instead of one literal translation, we have four options,
right.
And they're beautiful. Go forth, the Mass is ended. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Go in peace.
How can you miss any of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all of those, how can you miss that what we were just talking about, that missioning,
Matt? Right.
You know, the Eucharist doesn't begin, in a sense, you know, it doesn't have a beginning or a starting point.
No.
It's kind of like the Triduum.
Yeah,
every week we just re-enter.
Yes, you know? I love that.
And you look at those translations of the coming translation mm-hmm. of the dismissal. And, you know, just to back up a bit, you know, take the Latin again
mm-hmm.
of the dismissal.
Ite missae est.
It actually literally translated there is the verb is not ended. It's translated. It literally is go. The Mass is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's literally the translation,
true.
Which it's not ended.
Mm-hmm.
There is no end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's literally it's go. The Mass is. And the Mass continues,
mm-hmm.
and this Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you get it in those translations. Go forth. It's not just go, it's go forth.
Yeah, it's active.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that go forth mm-hmm. imagery, you know, in our office and our staff in the workshops we do, Annabelle and Sister Renee and I, we highlight this and
mm-hmm.
that idea that it's ascending. And then you get it in those other two that Benedict,
mm-hmm.
as you
mm-hmm.
mentioned from Sacramentum mm-hmm. Caritatis, you know, was saying, you know, we needed to make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. I mean, it's... How can you miss it?
Mm-hmm.
we have a charge. You know, what God has done around this altar and this ambo in this Sunday Eucharist, we're charged to take that out.
You know, you used the word mission a little mm-hmm. while back, and I'm glad you used that word because in the Latin, missa comes from the word missio, which means mission, and that's where the word mass comes
right.
from.
Exactly.
It's
our mission.
Mass is a call to mission.
It's our mission.
And that closing dismissal text sums up everything that we've been doing and leads us into what we should be doing when we go forth.
The last one of that is my favorite, and we just got a signal from Javier. We need to take a break here, so we'll pick it up with that last one when we come back. So stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be back after these messages with more Focus on the Liturgy.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS Case Management Programs, Food Pantry, and Ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy, the second half of our show. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
We're breaking open and looking at the season of Ordinary Time today, where we ended right before that last break. Danielle, we were talking about the really connecting the dismissal of the Mass to this part of Ordinary Time, mm-hmm. where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture readings, the texts, every year of the three-year cycle, talk about, at this point in Ordinary Time, they're talking about our mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What, you know, how we are to live as a follower of this dead and risen Messiah, how
right.
we are to live as one who is baptized in the death and resurrection of Christ. And in the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, there are those dismissal texts, and it was the last one, really the last of the new that that I think is so powerful. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the way you live, having participated in this Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
huh? Give glory to God.
They're the Benedictines that run the monastery and the school where I went to grad school had the phrase, I think it's St. Paul, that in all things God may be glorified. And it was in Latin on one of the buildings. But I think that speaks a lot to what this dismissal is about, you know, that everything we do gives glory to God.
Live your life following this Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that's I just I think that's that, that calls us to be so much aware,
mm-hmm.
you know, of what we're to do once we've celebrated the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that the Eucharist propels us to?
Mm-hmm.
And its mission.
Mm-hmm. It changes us. It transforms us.
Makes us more the image of Christ that mm-hmm. we were baptized to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's the whole focus at this point,
mm-hmm.
kind of the entering the last third, mm-hmm. really, of the season of ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, we've got all of the texts of that lead us to, you know, what does it mean to live as a Christian? And Danielle, at the break, you made the point. I mean, on the one level, you know, it's the seasons,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the first face of our liturgical year, that it's a year made up of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But underlying that, there's another cycle. You know, there's the cycle of the seasons, but then within that, there's another cycle that you brought up during the break there.
Well, there's the sanctoral cycle, and which exists all year, regardless if it's a high season or ordinary time. But I think we're more attuned to it during ordinary time, because when you celebrate the sanctoral cycle during the high seasons
take precedence. Sanctoral cycle. We're talking about the cycle of feasts and solemnities and memorials
of all of the saints.
Right. The saints, the martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second layer cycle.
Right.
You know, not only do we mark our time with seasons, but we also mark our time by celebrating our great heroes and heroines mm-hmm. in the faith.
And I was struck by this on the break, because we've been talking about mission and connecting that to ordinary time. And who better exemplifies that call to mission than the saints that are honored during the liturgical year?
Yeah.
And as we, you know, progress through ordinary time, we have some pretty familiar feasts, some major feasts and solemnities that are going to occur. And
some within
right
the next
up,
couple of the next week.
Yeah, coming up on September 8th, we celebrate the Nativity of Mary. And there's only three on the calendar in which we actually celebrate a birth. And of course, Christ, his birth into humanity. But then John the Baptist,
right.
which was on June 24th,
mm-hmm.
and Mary.
Which is significant because other than these three, the sanctoral cycle, the feasts of the saints and the martyrs, they're all determined by the death, mm-hmm. by the date of death.
Right. It's the Dies Natalis, or the birth into heaven.
Right.
So it's why on the these date three that they are die. Very significant.
Here, mm-hmm. we celebrate, here these feasts mark the birth.
Exactly.
The natural birth, mm-hmm. the physical birth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's coming up within the next week, and a little over a week, the birth of Mary.
And we talked about John the Baptist, but that we always talk about as we progress in ordinary time, the days get shorter. And John the Baptist's birth is around the summer solstice.
2 months ago.
And so the days are getting shorter, and who is it that pointed to Christ was John the Baptist. So that verse, he must increase, I must decrease. So as the days get shorter, and then it takes us to Christmas and the birth
after
of Christ,
which
the winter solstice occurs, and then the days get longer again. So
the
there's a nice
theological
interpretation about our natural cycles. And then the Triumph of the Cross, or the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, is on September 14th.
Which is a Feast of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I love, even in the Eastern Church, it's still, I think, referred to this, and it was in part of our history, the lifting of the cross.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that
well,
before.
Well, remember the Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross. It's Moses lifting
mm-hmm.
up the seraph.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those who were bitten by that snake. You know, the lifting up of so there's a making that connection there.
Yeah,
you know, the tree of life that gives us life.
Right.
Other feasts in September coming up.
Our Lady of Sorrows is on the 15th, and I think there used to be an octave before the revision of the liturgical year, because it's the 8 days after the birth, and then you have the Our Lady of Sorrows, and a common image for that is the Pietà. And St. Matthew is on the 21st, and then we have the Feast of the Archangels on the 29th.
The Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. That's right. We can look more at the coming celebrations of the Sanctoral Cycle when we return after these messages. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are talking about the season of Ordinary Time, and specifically the second part of Ordinary Time, where we are now. What as you said, colloquially is referred to as sometimes as Summer Ordinary Time and Autumn Ordinary Time. We're kind of right at that crux. And we were also, before that break, talking about the underlying cycle, the second level cycle, as it were, in our liturgical year, and that is the cycle of feasts and memorials of the saints. And one thing that was raised that you and I just touched on during that break, Danielle, was in regard to the coming third edition of the Roman Missal. How does that affect the sanctoral cycle? How does that affect the cycle of feasts and memorials and solemnities?
Well, one of the practical reasons for the promulgation of the third edition of the Missal in Latin was because Pope John Paul II and his pontificate was known for its canonizations. He's canonized more saints than any other pope. I think it was over 400.
400 and, oh my gosh. I can't believe I just forgot. 483.
Oh, okay.
483.
And some of them were added to the universal calendar, the general calendar. And there were American saints that were also added to the calendar. And so orders of prayer were needed for those additional saints.
Right. So those were very practical reasons for a third edition of the Missal.
For priests are probably familiar with the supplements that have been published since the 1985 sacramentary, and that was to accommodate those prayers. Those have been added to the Missal, and so the third edition of the Roman Missal in English will have those additional orders of prayer.
Like?
You know, my mind is going blank right now as to who they are because I work with the calendar every year. And so they have been on the calendar.
Drexel.
So,
Tekawitha,
yep. I think.
And Damien of Molokai.
Okay.
January 22nd, the day of celebrate the dignity.
Oh yes, the dignity of life.
Mm-hmm. And for reparation of sins against the dignity of human life. So, the calendar will be slightly affected.
Right.
More. And for us in the United States, obviously that's part of our calendar, the dioceses of the state, saints that have American heritage.
Right, and those are found in the proper saints on their particular date. But also if you look in the front of your sacramentary, the current one, you'll notice that the calendar is provided in the front matter of the missal or the sacramentary. But that will also still be there in the third edition of the missal. And so all of the saints that have since been added have been noted to the calendar. You're also going to notice a few differences in the proper titles on how some of these dates are titled because of the translation. Like, for example, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, it's the Holy Mother of God. So there are a little few differences. Birth has been changed to Nativity. Christ the King is now our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice a few differences in the titles of the saints.
We were looking at those, at some of the upcoming celebrations in the sanctoral cycle.
One of our favorites is, yes, October 4th, which is Saint Francis of Assisi. Todd and I are animal lovers, so of course we love Saint Francis. And there's of course the blessing of animals that is often takes place around his feast day.
A formal rite
from the Book of Blessings. Our Lady of the Rosary is on October 7th, and the whole month of October has been designated as the month of the Holy Rosary.
And it has been that for decades.
Mm-hmm. And many people have a great devotion to Saint Therese of Lisieux, which is October 1st, mm-hmm, the little flower. And Saint Luke is on October 18th.
Those are the feasts of the apostles, mm-hmm, that pepper the whole liturgical year.
And then we segue
all kind
into
of gearing, all gears toward November.
Yes, and as we've been talking about themes of ordinary time and moving from the public ministry of Jesus to discipleship, ordinary time naturally shifts towards the end times, and you'll hear these that focus shift more so in the month of November, which begins with the Solemnity of All Saints and All Souls. So there's a focus on end times, a focus on death. Saint Benedict says, "Keep death always before our eyes," and that shift naturally transitions into Advent, which begins by looking towards the second coming.
Right.
So as we're talking about the ebb and flow of liturgy and that circular dynamic, it naturally flows into a whole new liturgical year.
And really that shift is going to start within the next couple of,
mm-hmm,
weeks, really by the time we get into,
mm-hmm,
mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get to the end of September and into October, that shift, you start to hear it in the themes that are given in the liturgy. For example, later in September and into October, we'll start to hear the vineyard stories,
mm-hmm,
right? The,
mm-hmm,
harvest stories,
mm-hmm,
which is a scriptural metaphor for the end times,
mm-hmm,
the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, the second coming, the return of Christ in glory, since the patristics was imaged as this harvest, you know,
right,
the harvesting of,
right,
well, we see it in November, the harvesting of all souls,
mm-hmm,
in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll hear those images of the vineyard. We'll hear the images of the wedding feast, which, you know, you look at the end times,
mm-hmm,
and particularly you look through the revelation of John the Evangelist, and, you know, what was the revelation? It was the wedding banquet of the Lamb,
mm-hmm,
and the church,
mm-hmm,
you know, the Lamb and us. So that those wedding images are going to start to pop up. And then later in October and in through November, you get parables like the tenants,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do when the master returns? What will you have done with that which was entrusted to you by him,
mm-hmm,
when the master returns,
mm-hmm,
that's all the, mm-hmm, that end of ordinary,
mm-hmm,
time.
It's focusing on that eschatological banquet, and that's what the liturgy points to whenever we celebrate it, really. You know, it's a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom.
That is an excellent, I think, an excellent image and topic to kind of bring the show to a close, which we'll do after these messages, this last break. So stay with us for the last part of Focus on the Liturgy after these messages.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM, last segment of our show. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we've spent our time this month looking at ordinary time. As the show comes to an end, we're talking about the end, exactly. The eschaton, the end times. That's the end of ordinary time, we said before the break, as we get into September, October, and definitely the second half of October and into November. The texts of the Mass, the prayer texts, the scripture readings, they all point us towards the eschaton, the heavenly banquet.
And who better than to exemplify that than the saints, as we've been talking about? And that month of November begins with the Solemnity of All Saints. And the whole month of November is dedicated as the month of all souls. And, you know, the saints are in the heavenly banquet. There is no liturgy that goes celebrated without unifying ourselves with the angels and saints.
And so with all the angels and saints, we proclaim your glory as we sing. That's from the preface dialogue.
Exactly. And the word host from the Holy Holy is talking about the multitude of the heavenly angels, and we are surrounded by them. And you know, they are celebrating the liturgy in heaven, and so our celebration on earth is a foretaste of what they are celebrating in heaven,
and the participation,
and what we will be brought into.
I'll always say ask people, who's your favorite saint? Who's your patron saint? You know, who's the one that to whom you go all the time? Who's the one that you seek to exemplify? And I'll let them call to mind their patron saint, and then I'll remind them. Do you ever think that every time you gather around the Eucharistic altar, you're in union with them? You know, because every Eucharist is, as you said, it's an assimilation into that heavenly banquet.
And the liturgy points us to that with all of the readings from Revelation, and everything is about the end times and about the fulfillment of Christ and his coming in glory. The natural cycle, everything is dying, you know, so symbolically, you know, we've said so many times that we're fortunate to live in the Northern Hemisphere because our liturgy is in tune with the natural seasons. We remember those who have died. We're signing the book of the names of the dead. We're putting photographs of those who have died. So it's in our minds, specifically at this time.
Why? Because it's in our liturgy.
Right.
We had said during the break, you look at the readings, for example, of All Saints, and you know it's the great reading from Revelation. I saw a multitude that could not be counted, huh? Mm-hmm. And you look at the gospel for that. It's the Beatitudes.
Right.
You know that
right.
The Beatitudes, which describes the coming kingdom of Christ,
right.
When Christ returns in all His glory. Blessed will be the poor,
right.
And happy will be those who mourn.
Right.
So our liturgies, they shape us, they form us, and so does the liturgical year.
Mm-hmm.
In ordinary time, there is nothing that Christ has sanctified all of time, all of creation.
Exactly.
And so nothing is ordinary.
No, it's extraordinary.
So it's this coming weekend is the 23rd Sunday in extraordinary time.
Yes, exactly. As we're wrapping up the show today, maybe talk about a few resources from LCP.
Yep.
We've kind of talked intermittently throughout the show about the Roman Missal, and we've got about 3 more months towards implementation. So now is the time for active preparation of our assemblies to prepare them for the changes in the text.
Parishioners should be looking at the texts now. They should be breaking them open.
And the texts are available on the USCCB website as a free download, as a PDF. LCP has numerous resources that are helpful for all ages, from children to teens to adults, so you can lead faith formation sessions or talk about the changes in the classroom, either in the parish schools, Catholic schools, or in religious education programs.
You can use these guides as the Bible study, a scripture study group that gathers every Wednesday night. They can begin maybe using the understanding the revised mass
even
text.
Even choir rehearsals, as you're learning the new musical settings, you know, use these resources to put a context to what you're singing. If you go to our website, it's www.ltp.org, or you can also go to our Roman Missal website, which is www.revisedromanmissal.org. All of the resources are available on the website. The Roman Missal itself, we are publishing a ritual edition, which is about 8.5 by 11, and then a chapel edition, which is 7 by 9. They're available for pre-order now. We can't ship them until October 1st.
Nobody can.
The
bishops have asked that none of the missals be released until October 1st.
But you can see sample pages on our website and look at the design and see if it serves your needs. So they are available for pre-order. So please visit our website to look at the missal themselves. And we have 2 new resources coming out that we're excited about. We've extracted all of the Eucharistic prayers for concelebrants, and so have a new ritual book called Eucharistic Prayers for Concelebration. And then we've also taken the proclamations for Christmas, for Epiphany, and Easter, which is the Exultet, and that'll be in a single volume for music ministry, priests, and deacons to use to proclaim those proclamations.
I think other resources that for the coming English translation of the third edition that LTP offers is well worth our listeners looking at the downloadable bulletin inserts and articles. If you're just a general parishioner, they're certainly good for just to download and as short articles. If you are one who puts together the parish bulletin, they're excellent inserts that can be used. They're free with registration.
Exactly, from the Revised Roman Missal website.
There's about 18, 24
of them? Yeah, we have about 18 or 20 on the website, and then we have about 30 more that are available on a CD-ROM called Preparing Your Parish for the Revised Roman Missal, and they're available in PDF, RTF, Word format, so whatever your bulletin program uses,
alphabet soup there.
You can use, and color, black and white. And we have some of them translated into Spanish as well. And obviously this translation isn't going to affect Spanish-speaking communities, but if you have a bilingual parish, Spanish speakers should be abreast of the changes that will affect the English-speaking community
There really is a wealth of materials there on the LTP website. So we encourage all of our listeners to take a look. And parish ministers and ministry coordinators, this is the time when all ministries, whether you know, like the scripture study group, Yeah, it centers around the scriptures, but the scriptures are so much part of our celebration of the Mass that those new Mass texts could easily be an area of focus for them.
Right. Break them open. You know, unpack the meaning, the scriptural connections, the poetry of the text at all of your meetings that are occurring between now and the first Sunday of Advent.
We're at, as you said, we're kind of at a critical point.
Mm-hmm.
All Catholics should be aware of and should be preparing at this point for the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And it's so accessible.
It is.
The texts themselves, people can see them now on the USCCB website.
Exactly. They have, it's usccb.org/Roman Missal. And if you click on sample texts, you can look at the prayers for Advent and Christmas from the Proper of Time and the Order of Mass.
Of particular interest to me, and I think we've referenced it before, the Order of Mass with the scripture annotations.
Yes.
So it goes through the Order of Mass, and whenever there's an allusion to scripture, a quote from scripture, there's a footnote. You look at the bottom of the page and it gives you the scriptural citation itself. So to spend time going to the scriptures and looking at that reference.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We'll see you next month. God bless.